This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Carol Masser along with Ed Ludlow here in our Interactive Brokers studio. And I don't know about you, Ed, but I know growing up, my parents stressed not giving up easily, not at all. You don't walk away from things. You do not quit.
Do not quit. That was definitely my upbringing. And right? It's me now. You know me. You know.
I know. You keep going.
I'm headstrong. Yes.
Persevering. Well, writing about this and how learning to quit and walk away may just be a really crucial, important life lesson. So let's get to it. Former professional poker player Annie Duke is with us. She's a best-selling author of Thinking in Bets. Her latest book, Quit, The Power of Knowing When to Walk Away. She joins us via Zoom in New York City. She's also the co-founder of the Alliance for Decision Education. That's a nonprofit. She's also a partner at First Round Capital, a seed stage venture firm targeting tech entrepreneurs. She is a very, very busy individual. Annie, so good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really
a little cloudy out. You know,
good.
I know. Yeah. We need the rain, but it's got to stop at some point.
Yes. Hey,
listen, you know, it's been a couple of years since I think we talked about your previous book, but you always take your experiences as a poker player, you know, what you've learned and then how we can apply it kind of to our broader lives. Tell us about the progress and how it's culminated in your latest book.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think there's just a really interesting conversation to be had between poker, which is this very high stakes decision-making under uncertainty exercise, and cognitive science, which is thinking about, you know, how do we make decisions? And I think that the two disciplines can really inform each other. So, you know, the way I started thinking about quitting was that realizing that quitting, the option to quit, that option is so incredibly valuable in poker, because if you couldn't fold your hand, it wouldn't really be that skillful a game, right? And poker players have to really think about how to get good at cutting their losses. And actually, when you look at the difference between elite players and merely okay ones, one of the biggest differences between amateurs and experts in poker is how often they fold. When you just look at, they get their first two card combination in a game of Texas Hold'em, amateurs will play, they'll play over 50% of their hand. So they're folding less than half the time. Whereas experts are playing about 15 to 25%. Well,
that's such a hard one to square though, Annie. You were one of the top poker players for 20 years, right? And you've written this book, and it's hard to get one's head around the strength of being able to walk away, to stop, to quit. Talk me through the psychology of that.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Whenever we make a decision, we don't have all the facts. And luck is going to influence the outcome. So I'm sure you've had that feeling, Ed, of, oh, I wish I knew then what I know now. I might have made a different choice.
Oh, on a daily basis, of course.
Right. I mean, look at what's happening with the market, right? Like you're finding out information very rapidly every single day. So this is where the option to quit becomes so valuable, because it allows us to start things, even though we don't have all the facts and we know very little, because we know theoretically that when we find out new information, we can actually change our minds and we can change course. The problem for us as decision makers, though, is that that decision is itself made under uncertainty, right? So like,
I got to call you out on that, though, because you are also a venture capitalist. And this is what fascinates me. You're a seed stage venture capitalist, right? You invest in many companies. Not all of them are going to be successful. So when you have a founder sitting in front of you, one of 100 meetings you've taken that quarter or that year, How do you say, right, I have to say no, I have to walk away from this potential opportunity?
So you have to be thinking really in a structured way about the decision. So essentially, you're taking all of your experience and you are thinking about what are the signals that I see that tell me that an investment is worthwhile, you know, given the constraints of like how much capital do you have, what do you want your portfolio construction to look like? And then you have to systematize that. So as an example, let's just say broadly, this is not nearly as complex as you would actually approach the decision. So let's simplify it. Let's say that, you know, at Seed, what you really care about is what's the quality of the market, what's the quality of the product. You know, do you think it's a good product? Do you think it's going to achieve product market fit? So on and so forth. What's the quality of the founder? What's the quality of the team? You have to be systematic in making very clear and precise ratings of those things every time a founder comes in to pitch. And then you also have to be thinking ahead, right? Like you have to make forecasts that are also very precise about what's the probability it will successfully fund at Series A or Series B. And by doing that, what it allows you to do, first of all, is to overcome some bias, because it's harder to tell yourself a story or to ignore certain information that's a negative signal or ignore certain information that's a positive signal, because you're thinking about the exact same things each time. And you're creating a record that then allows you, as you see how those companies do,
right,
to go back and check on them and say, what was I thinking at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And like, how were my forecasts?
This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Tasks. You got to know.
Yes, indeed. Look, Kenny Rogers for you. But yes, you need to know when to fold them. And that's what we're talking about with Annie Duke, former professional poker player, longtime professional poker player, who did so well, best-selling author of many books. Her latest one, Quit, The Power of Knowing When to Walk Away, still with us via Zoom in New York City. We mentioned, too, she's the co-founder of the Alliance for Decision Education, a nonprofit with the mission of empowering students through decision skills education. She's also a partner at First Round Capital, a seed stage venture firm targeting tech entrepreneurs. You know, I was looking at your book, and you write, you know, we need to redefine what failed and wasted means. You know, when we worry so much about quitting and that quitting means that we failed, what exactly are we failing at? If you quit something that's no longer worth pursuing, that's not a failure. That's a success. Talk about Annie turning it upside down.
Yeah. Okay. So the problem, Carol, is that we tend to think about waste as a backward looking problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're worried, like, if we are in a job and it doesn't work out and we have to quit and walk away, that we'll have wasted our time in it. If we buy a stock at 50 and it's trading at 40, we're loath to sell it for fear that we can't get our money back. So these have to do with like resources that we've already sunk into this. And this is part of the sunk cost fallacy. Resources that we've already sunk into something prevents us from walking away, because that's the moment that you go from failing to having failed. That's the moment you go from having a $10 loss on the books to having a realized $10 loss or a sure loss of $10. And the problem with that backward looking perspective is that it causes you to put more time, effort, and money into something that isn't worthwhile. So the idea is like, look, if there's a stock that's trading at 40 and you wouldn't buy it today, then the fact that you bought it at 50 shouldn't matter. You shouldn't hold it, because holding is the same as buying. You should sell it. But we don't do that because we want to get our money back. And that's huge opportunity cost, because we should be taking those that $40 and putting it into something that is worthwhile.
So how do you think about it when, you know, we spend so much time, Annie, talking, and I know Ed talked a little bit about this in terms of the tech universe, you know, entrepreneurs who create these companies that become behemoths in the tech space,
yes,
and then maybe have to pivot. And you do wonder, like, I think as you're talking, I'm thinking about Facebook, Meta, Metaverse. Like, this is something that may take years to play out. It's who knows whether it'll be a really smart decision or not. But you do wonder about somebody like a Mark Zuckerberg, so identified with this company, so entrenched. Is it possible that he won't know maybe when to walk away from something that could ultimately pan out to be nothing?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, the thing is obviously that the more uncertainty there is, the harder it is to figure out that you're supposed to quit. And more importantly, the easier it is to rationalize that you should keep going. So when there's lots of uncertainty, like, you know, in the startup world, it's easy to say it's just around the corner. Like, next quarter is when I'm going to start acquiring customers. I'm going to start accruing net new ARR that's going to show me that I'm successful. So where I go with that is Ron Conway, who is the founder of SV Angel, I think really has the right tactic here. And he's probably one of the, I think he is the most successful angel investor ever. So he's dealing with this problem of, you know, when do you grit it out, even though things look like they're going bad, and when do you actually quit?
Right.
And he demonstrates this thing, like, you've got to get people to help you with the decision, because he, as someone who has invested in company after company after company, has a better perspective than the founders who are actually in the decision. So he'll go to them and he'll say, look, I don't think things are going that well. They'll say, oh, I can turn it around, which is what they, you know, naturally they believe. These are gritty people who are brilliant, who believe in what they're doing. And he'll agree with them. And he'll say, yeah, okay, I agree that you can turn it around. So how long? Like, how long can you keep going like this? Let's say they agree a quarter. And then they set benchmarks for the end of that quarter. So it's about being clear, because mm-hmm. otherwise you can rationalize it away, right? So if you say clearly that we have to generate 200,000 in net new ARR in the next quarter, then if you fall short of that, you have to have a conversation about walking away, because you've agreed about what it is that shows you that you're on your path. Because otherwise you can just stay on that treadmill. I know I can turn it around, and then you have the conversation in 3 months, and you know you can turn it around again, and then all of a sudden you're out of money. And the problem is that if you knew it a year before, that's a year that you, as a brilliant human being, cannot be spending on another idea that might actually change the world.
So this is the kill criteria, is that correct?
Yes, that is kill criteria, is thinking in advance about what are the signals that I might see that things are going poorly. And obviously the flip side is, what are the signals that I might see that things are going well? And it turns out that we're just way more rational when mm-hmm. we're thinking ahead than when we're actually in the moment. So if we can think ahead, which is what Ron Conway is getting his founders to do, that can get us to that decision in a more rational way. And as he says, life's too short not to do that. Because if you're so, you know, founders are brilliant.
Right.
They're gritty. We want them working on the best problems that they can be working on. So if they find out that the thing that they're working on isn't worthwhile, we want them switching as quickly as possible to something that is going to change the world.
It's really kind of funny, in a week that we've been spending so much time talking about Elon Musk and Twitter and announcing the deal, yeah. and kind of having it's just kind of staggering. Hey, we have about a minute left. Was there a real life lesson that you learned in where you didn't quit when you should have?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. So I think I, like most people, have stuck to things too long. And that's true, whether it's, you know, playing sports with an injury. I think that I should have quit poker earlier. Mm-hmm. I wasn't happy. And the other thing was that the game was changing in a way where players were getting way better than me. And I honestly, at that point in my career, didn't want to put in the time to keep up.
Yeah.
And so I think I took too long to get to that decision. And I think part of the reason why, and this is a really important lesson, is that when your identity is wrapped up in it,
right?
I was a poker player. I think it becomes very, very hard to walk away. And we need to be thinking about that in these types of decisions. Is it because, you know, am I happy, or is it because I feel like it's kind of who I am?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I'm thinking about Tom Brady, Gisele Bündchen this week, you know? Sorry, okay. Listen, Annie, this has been so much fun. Good luck with the book. Come back soon. Annie Duke, former professional poker player, as we said, author. She She's an investor. Her new book, Quit, The Power of Knowing When to Walk Away, it is out, so check it out. All right, folks, that's a wrap for our whole Bloomberg Business Week team. Our thanks to Ed Ludlow for joining us. I'm Carol Masser. Have a great evening.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.